We are in our series called To Hell with Hurry. We're trying to make a very dramatic title. And we're talking about this year, we want to be intentional about slowing down. And it's all under the premise that you cannot live in the kingdom of God with a hurried soul. And so 3 weeks ago, we talked about incorporating the rhythm of Sabbath in our lives. A Sabbath is an act of resistance against society that tells us to hurry and keep producing and keep working. And last week, we talked about the rhythms of silence and solitude. How many of you had the chance, you don't have to raise your hand, practice the rhythm of silence and solitude? You'll notice how much more your spirit comes alive and you could hear the divine whisper of God. And so today we're going to conclude our series, To Hell with Hurry, by talking about one more thing. And really, we wanted to start this year off with this series because we wanted you to slow down. I don't know about your 2019, but mine went by like in a snap. Like it went by so quick. I like blinked, it was January, and I unblinked and it was December. And I want us this year in 2020 to move slowly, to move in rhythm and in step with God instead of trying to rush on ahead. Because when you live life in a hurry, the first thing that goes out the window is intentionality. Isn't it true? You're reactive. You're responding to the hurry instead of walking with God. And so today we're going to end the series by sharing with you a tool that's going to help you live an unhurried and intentional life this year. Doesn't that sound amazing? Unhurried and an intentional life this year. A quick disclaimer, the teaching this morning is going to be a little different. It's not going to be so preachy. It's going to be a lot of teaching. In fact, it might even feel like a YouTube tutorial video because we're going to be arming you with the tool to help you live an unhurried and intentional 2020. A lot of this has been adapted from John Mark Comer and Bridgetown Church, and so it's an amazing teaching. But I will start off as usual with a hilarious story. A few weeks ago, Alex Alves and Christine Lin and I went to Core Power Yoga, okay? And I've never done yoga in my entire life, but, you know, I trusted Christine to sign me up for a class. But little did I know that the only class that was available was the sculpting class, which is the most advanced yoga course that they have at that gym. And so I signed up for Core Power Yoga with them. I went, had no idea what I was getting myself into. So we start the class. First of all, they lower the lights, dim it. I swear I remember like a red tint. They want to make it look like hell because it is hell. And so I remember the yoga teacher, so peppy. You know, she's helping me. She's saying all these poses, and I don't know any of the poses. And so I'm just literally trying to learn as we're going, downward dog and the warrior stance, right? I'm trying to figure it all out, and I don't know what's going on. So I'm watching Alex, and I'm just trying to copy his movements. So the entire class was just me trying to figure out these movements. I really had no idea what the hell I was doing. I felt like I was way behind. I felt like I was out of rhythm. I felt like a failure. And at the end, I felt like dying, okay? And the experience was so jarring for me because I felt so out of my element. I felt so out of my control. I felt like I didn't know what I was doing. I felt like a failure, and I didn't understand what the rhythms that I needed to know were. And the reason why I share that story is because I would bet that all of us at some point in our spiritual lives have felt the way that I felt about Core Power Yoga. Where we feel like we're in the dark, just grasping for something. Where we have no idea if we're growing or maturing or on the right path. Where we feel like, I have no idea, God, if I'm failing or if I'm succeeding. Or you feel like, I'm not satisfied with where I'm at. I know where I want to be, but I'm not there. How many of you have felt like that in your walk with God? Stephen Machia, he wrote this beautiful book called Crafting a Rule of Life, where some of this teaching is adapted from. And he says this, most of us stumble into the kingdom with nary a clue. I'm going to start using that word. With nary a clue how to do this. So we thrash about, make reckless attempts, arm ourselves with slogans, goad ourselves with guilt, fail and fail and fail, and finally settle for spiritual mediocrity. Our inner lives remain cramped and musty. We resort to mere conformity, to a masquerade of piety, to cover up for a lack of real Christ-likeness. Damn, he just rebuked us this morning, right? When I read this, part of me really resonates because there have been so many moments on this journey with God where I feel like I'm thrashing about, just trying to figure it out, just trying to stay afloat. Can you resonate with me? Am I the least saved Christian in here? I know y'all resonate. We've all experienced that. And I think most of us want to do this Christian life well. We want to live a life of godliness. We want to become more Christ-like. We want to live a thriving life of faith. But if we're honest with ourselves, we just don't know how to do it. And amid our busy schedules and our busy lives, when we lack a consistent and thoughtful way of living life well, we end up one of these or all four of these things. We end up scattered, meaning our schedule is full but doesn't reflect our purpose, our values, or priorities. We end up hurried, meaning we're busier than we want to be, but we don't know what to change. We don't know what to do. We're more reactive. It seems we're never in charge. We're always responding to demands instead of taking control of our lives. And lastly, we're exhausted. We end each day weary and discouraged, and we're unsure if we've spent the day well. Come on, can you resonate? I'm reading this and my soul is crying right now because I experience these things so consistently. And the question I want to ask you today is, have you ever felt like your life is so full, but so unfulfilling? Like your schedule is so full, but for some reason, it feels meaningless. Well, Jesus, good news, just kidding, end the sermon, you're sad. No kidding. Jesus actually has an answer to this struggle that all of us face. And so today we're going to look at John 15, 4 through 5. And I want these words to minister to us this morning and push us on towards being intentionally pursuing God. Jesus says this, famous passage, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." See, Jesus is asking, are you tired of living scattered, hurried, reactive, exhausted lives? Are you tired of working so hard yet bearing such little fruit? Are you tired of feeling like life is jam-packed busy, but nothing truly feels meaningful? He says, I have an answer for you. Abide in me. Look to your neighbor and say, abide in me. Lord, would you spark some relationships and some romances right now in Jesus' name? The key to a fruitful, thriving life in Christ is this simple phrase, abide in Christ. I love John Mark Comer's description of what it means to abide in Christ. He breaks it down to three things. Abiding in Christ is being with Jesus, becoming like Jesus, and ultimately doing what Jesus did. When we're talking about abiding in Christ, we're talking about being with Jesus, spending time with him, ultimately becoming like Jesus so that we are Christ-like, and ultimately doing what he did so that we can bless our world. Doesn't that sound amazing? Don't you want to live life abiding in Christ? Don't you want to live a fruitful life, a life fulfilled? I do. So I'm going to come to my altar call today. So the question is this, how do we abide in Christ when our lives are so busy, so hurried, so noisy? And today, that's what we're going to talk about. We uncover a beautiful treasure that we find in church history called a rule of life. Isn't the graphic pretty epic? C-Bell made it. A rule of life. Some of y'all is like, what the hell is a rule of life? We're going to talk about it today. Some of you, as soon as you heard the word rule, you close off your hearts. Come on, I know Ying back there is struggling right now because he hates rules, right? If you're a bad boy like me or like Fig, you hate rules, right? And many of you, it's because you've been in spiritual environments where rules dominated your lives and choked out the joy of walking with God. If you know my story, I grew up in a private Christian school, which I will not name, here in the Bay Area. And it was so religious. There were so many rules wrapped up around everything that we did. I remember in fifth grade, some of y'all know the story, I brought a burn CD to my class party because I was the class president. And, you know, everyone was wanting that Casey and JoJo, but I burned a CD of the Titanic album. I don't know why. I just love that album. And I remember I played it in class, and then one of our principal came in, took the CD out, and said, come with me to my office. And so I went to the office of my principal. He sat me down, broke the CD in front of my face, and said, you are Satan's little helper. See, y'all had exciting seventh grade classes. My seventh grade class was studying the laws of Leviticus and writing them down and putting the passages. And I remember being in the environment, the rules choked out the joy of walking with God, that I walked away from God in my middle school. I had a middle school life crisis where I walked away from the Lord. And so some of you, when you hear the word rule and you hear rule of life, your hearts are automatically triggered in some way, saying, I don't want more rules. I want freedom. I want to be abiding with Jesus, not dominated by him. But this is not the type of rule that we're talking about when we talk about rule of life. The Latin word rule was originally the Greek word for a trellis in a vineyard. I didn't know what a trellis was until I researched, but a trellis is this support system. It's a tool, it's a structure that holds up the vine so that it can bear fruit, be healthy, and be supported. And in other words, if you go to a vineyard and the vine doesn't have a trellis, it's not going to bear good fruit. And actually, it's susceptible to predators coming around the floor and eating it up. And so a trellis is a structure that holds the vine off the ground and supports it so it can grow and become fruitful. And without a trellis, a vine wouldn't be able to bear good fruit. You see the parallels here. Just like a vine needs a trellis to support it, we need a rule of life to support us so that we can grow and bear fruit. We need a support system to help us live fruitful lives abiding in Christ. And so this is what a rule of life is. It's a trellis that supports the rhythms that we create, the schedule and the plan that we create to help us be fruitful, abiding Christians. Does that make sense? And so this definition of rule of life was really helpful that I found. It says this: a rule of life is a schedule and a set of practices and rhythms that help us create space in our busy lives to abide in Christ. It's a schedule, it's a plan, it's a set of practices and rhythms that help us create space to abide in Christ. Peter Scazzaro, author of Emotionally Healthy Church, he says this: a rule of life, very simply, is an intentional, conscious plan to keep God at the center of everything we do. The starting point and foundation of any rule is a desire to be with God and to love him. And so before you think I'm starting a cult here, I want to show you that this is found in church history and there's traces of it in scripture. The first example of a Christian rule of life was actually found with the Desert Fathers. They were a group of mystics that said, we want to get away and go into the desert and build these monasteries so that we can better hear the voice of God and drown out the noise of our world. And in the third century, as far as the third century, the first Christian rule of life is known to be traced back to then. And even in scripture, even though there's no mention of rule of life, there are many instances where people practiced rules of lives. Daniel committed to praying 3 times a day. The early church committed to meeting together every single day to break bread, receive teaching, and pray. And Jesus even himself had these rhythms. He practiced Sabbath, silence, and solitude, prayer, everything that we've been talking about. And so a rule of life is our trellis, our support system that helps us set a plan and a schedule and a set of rhythms and patterns that we could abide by. So what does a rule of life look like? I have an example for you. You could throw up that chart. And so we created this little chart for you based on some of the research that we've done. We've kind of edited it to our liking. And actually, if you go to 99church.com/rule, we have everything broken down for you. You have the worksheet there. You have all the categories and explanation of what this exercise is. And so this is kind of what a rule of life looks like. It's simply a plan and a schedule, setting up a set of practices and rhythms that help us abide in Christ. And I'm really excited. If you're part of a CG, we're going to actually do this together in our community groups. If you're not part of a CG, you can do it with the Lord, or you can just holler at someone in our church and we'll do it with you too. But the first thing I want to say is this. Actually, why don't you go to the next slide? I'm gonna give you a peek into the rule of life that I created, okay? And so don't look at some of them. But for example, for my God daily is my daily scripture reading app. Morning prayer in silence, an evening prayer in silence, and a midday prayer with the Echo prayer app that I got. If you go to myself, monthly, there's budgeting with Krista. If you go to my daily, get 7 hours of sleep every night, hallelujah. And so this is kind of an example of a rule of life that we could create together. But the first thing I want to say is this: a rule of life isn't the same thing as a law. See, a law is handed down from an external source. It has little flexibility. It's guilt and innocence based, and it's designed to keep us away from the negative. A rule is different. A rule is self-generated from your own desires, your own goals. There's lots of flexibility. It's relationship based, and it's designed to move us toward the positive. And so remember, the purpose of a rule of life is to help you make space to abide in Christ, to be with Jesus, become like Jesus, and do what Jesus did. Now, I see anxiety all over some of your faces, because before you get stressed out and overwhelmed about adding another thing to your already busy lives and busy schedules, understand something. We already have an unwritten rule of life that we're living by. We wake at a certain time. We all have our morning beauty routines. We practice rhythms of work, leisure, and hobbies. There's already a rule in place that you're following. In fact, if you let me follow you for 1 week and I just watch and jot down notes, I bet I could come up with your rule of life. All of us already live by an unwritten rule of life. The question isn't, do you have a rule of life? The question is, do you know what your rule of life is? And does it line up to the kind of life that you want to live with God? Does it line up with the type of person that you want to become? You see, the key here, the word that I want to emphasize more than anything today, is intentionality. And I think we don't emphasize it enough in church. We drop all these disciplines on you, like go read your Bible, go pray. But we find that throughout our lives, we're rarely intentional when it comes to the spiritual things. What I want to say today is a thriving life of faith doesn't just happen by accident. It takes intentional effort. In other words, if you want to look like Jesus more next year, by next year, you're going to have to make an intentional effort. And so a rule of life helps us be intentional. Most of us know what type of life we want. We know what type of person we want to become, but few of us intentionally do what it takes to get there. And if you're not intentional about creating the life that you want, you'll end up disappointed by your life. And in this article by the Gospel Coalition, the author gave this really, really potent phrase. He says this: goals are overrated and commitments are underrated. Ain't that the truth? It's so easy to articulate our goals. It's so easy to list our goals, but so few of us actually know how to articulate the commitments that it takes to get there. Every year, I make a vow with the Lord. It's really serious. That God, this is the year that I'm going to lose weight, have a six-pack, have a rockin' beach bod by the time it's summer. And every year, I inevitably fail. And I realize it's because I'm so good at knowing what my goals are, but I'm so bad at articulating the commitments that it's going to take to get there, okay? A goal by itself doesn't do anything. It's the commitments that we make to that goal that bring about true transformation. And so rule of life is something that turns the theoretical into the practical. It turns something that stays up here into something that can be practiced. A great example is with Christianity. We could have the goal, I want to get closer to God. But I promise if that's just your goal, you're not going to get closer to God. You have to make a commitment. I'm going to pray in the morning. Or I'm going to fast once a week. Or I'm going to make sure to read scripture every day. If you want to experience the life of Jesus, we've been saying this, you have to live the lifestyle of Jesus. In other words, if I want to have a body like Ying, I'm not going to get it by binge watching Cheer on Netflix, eating 3 bags of hot Cheetos, and drinking soda on my couch. I have to literally do what Ying does. I have to go to the gym every day at Equinox and work out and drink beautifully flavored water and have hot towels ready for me. If you want to cook as good as someone like Aiden or C-Bell, you have to do what they do. And I don't know about you, but I'm tired of setting spiritual goals that never happen. I'm tired of knowing theoretically what kind of life I want to live, what kind of person I want to become, and not doing it. I want to practically live out the life that God has called me to. And so rule of life helps us with this. I forget who said this, but someone said, we achieve inner peace when our schedule aligns with our values. If you were to ask yourself honestly right now, if I were to jot down my schedule and every single thing I do right now, does everything, first of all, is everything intentional? Or is it just reactive or something that I just do without thinking about it? And is everything lining up towards the goals that I want or the values that I have or the person that I want to become? A rule of life is simply aligning our schedule with our values. Wouldn't it be so fulfilling if everything we did every single day had intention and purpose behind it, and we know that it's moving us toward this beautiful thing called abiding in Christ? And so that's what we're going to do. My challenge to each of you is to create a rule of life this week in your own unique way. And so I have 7 small tips. This is my YouTube tutorial part of the sermon. 7 tips to help you create a rule of life that's good for you, okay? And so the first one is this: start small. It's tempting to overreach and overstuff our rule of life. And some of y'all, I already know, you're meticulous about, you know, I already know some of y'all are going to take this extra, okay? You're going to overstuff and overreach. But I find that unrealistic goals lead to disappointment and discouragement. You know, for most of you, you're probably at that point in the new year where you've realized that you're going to fail all your resolutions. Come on, how many of you there? Okay, none of y'all? Okay, y'all holy. But when we try to do too much, when we overstuff our lives, we're actually going to end up disappointed. And so start small. If you don't pray at all right now, don't try to pray 2 hours a day, okay? If you don't read the Bible at all, don't start in Leviticus right now without a guided commentary. You know, I had a mentor, Pastor Daniels, and he's the type of dude, I've shared about him before, but one time he's like, I'm going to go pray in my prayer closet. And he's an old school Christian where he actually literally went into the closet to pray. And so it was the morning time. He went into the closet, he prayed, and when he came out, it was nighttime already. And I remember hearing that story so inspired. Like, he's the type of dude, he doesn't even try to fast. He just ends up fasting for 3 days. And he's like, oh, I didn't eat. I'm just so content in the Lord. Okay. And so I remember being so inspired by his life that when I got home, I went into the closet and I went at it, man. I prayed so hard. I prayed so long. I got out and 10, maybe 11 minutes passed on the clock. And I realized that he had been cultivating this life of prayer for years, for decades. Start small. Start where you're at, not where you want to be. If you don't exercise at all, don't try to run 3 miles every day. You will fail unless you're Justin, okay? And so start small and just begin. A rule of life is a living document. In other words, it changes because we change. And so from season to season, it may look different. We might need to adjust. So don't stress about getting it perfect the first time. Enneagram type ones. Don't worry about getting it right the first time. It isn't meant to be static. It's meant to be dynamic because we are dynamic. We are changing. So start small, number one. Number two, be specific. Instead of writing spend time with God, maybe you'll write pray in the morning. Instead of writing have a better attitude. Maybe you'll write practice gratitude in the evening. Like I said, so much of our walk with God remains theoretical, but I believe the best theology always translates into a practice. And so we want to take what is theoretically true about the things that we want and create practical rhythms and practices around it. See, if I want to run a marathon, no amount of mental gymnastics or projection in my mind is actually going to help me run a marathon. I have to literally go outside and actually run. And same with our walk with God. It can't remain in here. There has to be a practice. So be specific. Don't just say spend time with God. Say prayer in the morning for 30 minutes. Or read scripture every day in my Read Scripture app. Whatever it might be. Number three, subtract, don't add. This is a really good one from John Mark Comer. He says, don't add more to your already busy schedule. The point is to slow down and simplify. It's not a matter of adding more, but reassessing everything that's already in your life and reprioritizing it so that you're orienting yourself to abide in Christ. Make everything that you do intentional in creating the life that you want. If you complete your rule and your life is busier than ever, I think you've missed the point. If you've done the rule of life and it feels overwhelming, you need to go back to the drawing board and simplify, okay? Don't overstuff. Subtract, don't add. The goal is to slow down and to simplify. Number four, do you. Take into account your personality. If you're introverted, don't set up a lot of hangout times. If you're extroverted, you don't have to set too much alone time. If you don't like reading, listen to an audiobook. If you crave structure, then create more structure. Make it more detailed. If you need more spontaneity, then create spaces for that. Do you. Make sure that it aligns with who you are, not someone else. Second, take into account your season of life. A rule of life for a single working professional in tech is going to look way different from the rule of life of a new mom, right? There are rhythms and seasons in life that require different things for each of us, just like a rule of life for a brand new believer is going to look different from the rule of life of someone who's been walking with God for a long time, grew up in church, and knows all the VBS songs. It's going to look different, and so take into account your season of life. Your rule of life should reflect your current seasons. Maybe some of you this season, God's calling you to focus more on your career or work. Orient your rule of life to abide in Christ in that direction. Maybe some of you, God's calling you to build meaningful relationships in this season. Orient your rule of life towards that direction. Maybe God's calling for you is to focus on specific things. I remember when my best friend, his name is Christopher. He's the type of guy that every bro just wants him to be his best friend. But I'm his best friend, okay? But I remember that our group of friends went through a crisis when he was getting ready to get married. Because if you haven't experienced it, most of you haven't, that when you start to get married, you start having to create space between your close friends so that your space between your spouse can be very intimate. And so our friends were panicking because they felt like they were losing their best friend. And I remember that Christopher, in his stage of life, in his season of life, required more attention on his future marriage than on his bros and his best friends. And so people were feeling that, they were freaking out, but he was responsibly taking into account his season and orienting his life towards what he needed to focus on. And so give yourself grace. Take into account your season of life. Let your rule of life reflect that. And lastly, be creative. I have these examples of many rules of life that we found. If you want to use our workbook, you can. But there's all these cool ones that I found. Like this person obviously is a graphic designer. Like that's like Seabells, right? This one's like maybe Ying's, right? Really pretty. He has good handwriting. And so whatever you want it to look like, be creative with it. Make it reflect who you are. Do you. Next, keep a healthy balance of upstream and downstream practices. Also, John Mark Comer taught about this, that upstream is rhythms and practices that are difficult for you. And downstream are rhythms and practices that are easy and fun and life-giving. So in other words, balance the downstream and the upstream. Don't just create a rule that's fun and that's easy. There won't be any depth or growth. But at the same time, don't create a rule of life that's just all hella hard and it's all uphill, and it's all struggle, and it's all growth, because there won't be any joy. In addition to striking a balance between upstream and downstream, try to strike a balance between what you're trying to do and what you're trying to abstain from. Richard Foster wrote a book about the spiritual disciplines. He distinguishes it between the disciplines of abstinence and the disciplines of engagement. And so balance the disciplines of abstinence. What do I have to refrain from? Maybe some of y'all need to regulate your phone time a little better. Maybe some of you need to cut down on binge watching TV. Maybe some of you need to cut down on this or that or your dating app or whatever. Those are rules of abstinence. But maybe some of you want rules of engagement as well, that I want to take up reading scripture, or I want to take up knitting, or I want to exercise more. And so make sure to strike a balance between disciplines of abstinence and disciplines of engagement. Just two more, guys. Number six, think holistically. Your spirituality is intimately connected to your emotions, to your thoughts, even to your physical body. Do you know that even your work is a spiritual thing? Do you know that your relationships are a spiritual thing? Every single thing that we do is a spiritual thing. It could be an act of worship to God. And so think holistically. Don't just think spiritually. Think physically. What do I want to do for myself physically? What improvements do I want to make for me? It's get 7 hours of sleep and don't eat snacks past 10 p.m., which is really hard for me. And so make sure to set up rhythms holistically. Maybe for you, it's your mind. And this season, you need to set up a rhythm where you go see a therapist, or that you process with God. Or maybe for some of you, it's emotional. You need to set up boundaries and limitations to what you're doing. For some of you in your work, you need to set boundaries between your work and your personal life. Too many of us in San Francisco take our work home with us, and it creates this unhealthy balance and this unhealthy rhythm that I'm always on. And so we wonder why we're tired, even though, you know, work seems fun and we have all these perks. It's because we haven't learned to create a balance and set boundaries. And so think holistically. Are you regulating your phone time? Are you practicing Sabbath rest? Are you setting healthy boundaries at work? Are you making space for meaningful relationships? And so if we go back to the chart, there's all these categories that we have, not just between you and your relationship with God, but for you and yourself, and for your relationships with people that you know, with your work, the thing that God's called you to do, and also with church and the gospel. Church isn't just serving here at 99 or at your local church. It's also sharing the gospel, sharing the message of Christ with the outside world. It could be an outreach like Eden made, or it could be striking up a conversation with the homeless man that you see in front of your work every day. Make sure to think holistically.
Our memory card got full at our Sunday service gathering, so we weren't able to record the rest of the sermon, but since there's just a little bit left, I thought I would re-record it here at home. And so I'm going to go ahead and start by sharing the seventh thing, which is set a time frame. Commit to it for 3 months. Assess and adjust and move forward. We really believe if you don't commit to doing this for a specific amount of time, chances are you will drop it. And so we really recommend that at the least 3 months, take your stab at the rule of life, try abiding by it. And then at the end of 3 months, after you've committed to it, readjust and change any things that you need to change and move forward. And so, yeah, we wanted to share those seven tips for you as you're developing your rule of life. We really believe that it's going to be such a powerful tool as you continue to be intentional about giving 2020 to God and making space to abide in Him. And I want to just close by quoting Margaret Gunther. She says, "A good rule can set us free to be our true and best selves. It is a working document, a kind of spiritual budget, not carved in stone, but subject to regular review and revision. It should support us, but never constrict us." And with that said, we really want you to know that a rule of life, we have to remember, is a means to an end. The end is abiding in Christ, being with Jesus, becoming like Jesus, and doing what He did. If it doesn't serve that end, it shouldn't constrict you, it shouldn't weigh heavy on you, but it should be something that actually helps you accomplish abiding in Christ. And so if we do this right, I really believe that just as Jesus' invitation was to abide in Him, we'll be like the branches that abide in the vine, and we will bear much, much fruit. And so today, we want to challenge you to make a commitment to abide in Christ. We want to invite you to try intentionally crafting your rule of life so that you can be intentional in every moment, so that your schedule can align with your values, so that what you do will be a reflection of what you want and what you want to see happen in your life and the person that you want to become. And so we encourage you right now to take a moment, spend time with God and ask him, God, where's my heart right now? Am I committed to you? Am I feeling far from you? Do I feel disconnected from you? And as you have a moment with God, I want you to invite him into your everyday and say, God, I want to make a commitment this year to be intentional about everything that I'm doing. I want to make a commitment to abide in you so that I could be with you, become like you, and do what you did. And so as you have that moment with God, we pray that he will give you clarity and wisdom in how to craft your rule of life. And we pray that this would be a tool that further propels you in your journey with God, and that we could end our year 2020 saying that this year we were intentional about abiding in Christ. And so I really want to just end this time by praying for you. God, we just thank you so much that you are with us and that your heart is always here for us. And God, I pray for those right now who feel weak in their faith, who feel like they're failing, who feel like they're grasping in the dark, who feel like they're not sure if they're hitting their mark, for those who are dissatisfied with where they are at spiritually. And God, we pray that with this rule that you would help us live lives, God, that are not reactive or full of hurry or full of exhaustion, but God, that we would live lives intentionally abiding with the vine, that we would see and bear much fruit because we're abiding with the source of all life, the source of all strength. And so God, I pray that you would be with everyone who's working on crafting the rule of life this week, that you would highlight the rhythms that you are calling them to focus on in this season, and that you would give them wisdom and strategy as they work with this so that they can continue to abide in you. We love you, God. We thank you for who you are. We thank you that you're here with us and that you're walking with us. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.